What I'm trying to say is that any Disney movie, someone had sex to make the little ducks in the fucking goofy skateboard movie with Tony Hawk.
No.
So you're telling me that Disney wants to avoid having the birds and the bees talks, but yet all these characters have fucking kids?
But
come
dude,
on,
they're like,
bud.
They're like,
figure
they're,
it out, bud.
Why are you yelling at me?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie are like their nephews. Like
they have also, moms.
But
they're
but
also
Donald
Scrooge's
and
nephews, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Which means that
like
Donald and Scrooge are brothers. Brother-in-law,
what?
Yeah, because
or no, he's their great uncle.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
he's their
right,
great
that's
uncle.
Right, because he is older.
Right,
because
he's Donald's uncle,
and he doesn't
yeah,
have any
that's
kids.
Right.
Only Goofy has a son, is what I'm saying.
Yes. And he's
Goofy.
Literally the goofiest motherfucker.
Right.
Out
but
of
the
all
only
these
fucking
dudes.
Character.
Yeah.
He's the only one that ever had sex.
Well,
he's
not.
He's
goofy
also
enough to
the
guess.
Only one that could hook you up.
I fucked
he's
that
not,
up.
He's not too goofy to. Not too goofy to get some goofy trim. Right,
his son's really good at skateboarding.
He's really good at skateboarding.
He's like some Tony Hawk.
Impossibly
shit
good.
True.
In
he's
fact,
like,
I would expect performance enhancing skateboarding drugs.
He's in X game. He's on X game mode.
He's also got that like.
Can you imagine him now?
God,
though,
none of us know what the fuck you're talking about, Joel. We build model kits. We don't know how skateboarding works. Like,
neither
yeah,
do I.
We
play Tony Hawk.
We build wheels
what's
on
his
model
kits. What's his name again? I forget.
Dan Earnhardt.
Max,
oh, right?
Goofy's yeah. kid.
His name is Max Goofy, yeah. which
it's
means that Goofy's name is
very
Goofy.
Very like
no,
early
Max,
2000, like Max Power.
It was Max, yeah, but Max is like
Max
older than us. He was like a Gen Xer. Can you imagine him now?
Yeah, totally. He works
he'd
in an
sound,
office
he'd
job.
He'd be like Tony Hawk. Like,
yeah, he would be exactly like Tony Hawk.
Yeah, he would have given up the skateboarding because he would have knocked up a chick in like
senior
year.
Tony Hawk's still skating,
right?
No, he's
definitely
the most famous
skater. I'm talking about Max. I'm not talking about Tony Hawk.
Oh yeah, Max would give it up. He'd be done.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a Gen Xer now. He's like, you know.
No, yeah. he works Grain. At like.
I've never heard
management.
Of that Pokemon, but.
Max? A Gen Xer?
No, the Gen X one. Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen X. What does that mean?
Gen 10, man.
Is that the Korean that's, one?
Yeah, it's the Korean.
We've already talked about Brock and the Rock Gym.
That's
so
Gen X
is
in about
Pokemon.
3 years.
It's Pokemon. It's distinct.
Oh, shit.
Gen X, that's 10, you mean?
Yeah.
Gigi.
Like iPhone X 10.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
As
so,
much as we love. Being a part of the Pokemon community. We're not actually here for the Pokemon community, are we, boys?
Yeah, we
what?
Are.
What? Fuck this. Wrong podcast, boys. Yep. I'm fucking out.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Joel has left the building.
Joel,
it's
Joel.
Our podcast now.
He literally just left. Can we commandeer this baby?
No, no I'm back.
Oh, shit.
I'm back in this bitch like fucking Captain Picard, boys.
Brandon
went, wait.
You know, at the end of the last episode,
if you guys haven't
out,
listened, we had a little fun bonus episode out.
The resolution of that episode was at the end, if you found out that the whole thing was actually a holodeck simulation that was run by Reginald Barclay, who, as you know, is the most annoying crew member
fucking
of the Enterprise because
him.
He keeps on like,
Broccoli!
Sure. Yeah, he makes like a lot of,
Broccoli
right, he makes
yeah.
like a lot of mistakes, but he's also like, you know, he just wants everybody
he's
to like
weird.
Him.
He's got a heart of gold.
But eventually, like, you start to like him as a character because you realize that he's just like motivated.
He's got a heart.
This is turning into a Star Trek podcast very fast.
I really
and
I
our ratings are
now.
Just fucking
yeah,
tanking, boys.
It's welcome going up in the Star Trek genre.
All right, well, I've tried to segue us about 3 times now, so how about one of you mooks do it this time?
You got okay. The golden rule is everyone has to get a go, so.
Okay, well, I've taken up 2 other goes.
All right, Brandon, it's all up to you, bud.
Welcome to the Cisco Matt, the Deep Space Nine podcast, where we talk about what...
Yes!
All right, I'm going to bring us in here, boys. Welcome to the Cutting Mat, the scale modeling podcast that is by the community for the community. Today,
hey, we're the community.
We're the community.
We should talk about the community today, Joel.
We're a community.
That's
as
the
a matter
we're doing.
Of fact, we
this
are.
Is, yeah, it's part 2. Mm-hmm. The first episode, we talked about our little local community here in Cary, North Carolina called Hangar 18 Hobbies. And then also
Gumpa community, yes.
A little bit about the Gumpa Builders Association, some online fun. Today, we're going to be running you guys through on how to kind of start your own community
it's
if you don't have one.
Best practices,
yeah.
You know.
And we're going to be talking from our own experience. So your experience may vary, but we hope that there will be something that you can glean from our conversation that you'll be able to apply to your own situation. We get a lot of questions in the GBA Discord about people who don't think that they have a community near them, and I can assure you that no nerd is more than 50 miles away from any other nerd. Unless,
legally.
Right,
legally.
Legally,
yeah.
Legally, you have to disclose whether or not you're a nerd when you start a new job.
That's very
I'm
going to
go
now.
Ahead and throw in there, if you can't find a nerd for 50 miles, you're in the wrong place.
You are. Well, you need to move at that point.
Or there,
you
there
can't
are,
even be on another planet because nerds want to be on other planets.
That's,
so what the fuck
I
is
live
going
on one myself. So But that's the thing. If you happen to be in one of those places, Greenland, Antarctica, northern Alaska, where you are more than 50
those are filled
miles
with nerds too. They're researchers,
so
scientists.
People
on
in
those
Alaska
places.
Talk about ordering kits online and
yeah, but
shit.
There's only 12 nerds in Antarctica. Like that's they're true. All like yeah. The entire population of Antarctica is nerds. They're
that's
researchers.
Right.
And I would love to meet all of them. But the thing is, if you live in one of those places and you don't have a community...
It'd be an excellent place to build Gunpla, don't you think?
It'd be peaceful.
But fuck if you run out of it.
Yeah, penguins knocking on your windows. Like
you wouldn't be able to paint outside.
That's true.
Maybe you would. You spray inside, you go outside, boom. Instant crystal
instantly
coat.
Fucking oh, man. Everything's a winter. I should move.
That should Joel's move. Going. He's going right now.
Joel's packed
he
up
just
and left already.
Next week we'll be we'll
just
be
discovered the ultimate yes. snow diorama source.
But there are
Antarctica.
There are online communities for those of you who live in those areas. But we're going to talk a bit about the difference between online communities and in-person communities as well. So we hope you stay tuned with us, and we hope that you haven't already signed off. If you have, you're not hearing this, but thanks for
we
still listening in. We love you anyway.
And we're just going to continue because we don't actually take breaks.
Yeah, no. So...
I'm a rhinestone cowboy.
I want to be a cowboy, baby. That's such a great vine.
No, he's riding the mechanical bull. I love that.
So, yeah, that's,
no, wait,
that's
no,
a call to segue, ladies and gents.
Yes, a segue. A platform with two wheels which you can lean to control. And
lean with it, rock
directions,
with it.
And additionally, the thing that Tino just did.
I
so, would you like
to try
to,
one of the off-road ones?
Off-roading segueing?
Yeah, they just put like big wheelies
fucking,
on
is that
them.
In the X Games, bud?
Giant.
It is now.
I think I've seen it.
It's just tourists going through like a fucking obstacle course with their home state on their back.
And the contestants from America have just taken three or four more pictures.
Yeah, I would definitely watch that. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Cutting Mat Podcast.
Oh, shit. Fuck off, bud. This is the X Games coverage of the Segway off-roading tournament, you piece of shit.
My name's Tino. Also known as Big V, all around the internet. This absurd person to my right is...
Hey, I'm Joel. I'm the leader of the X Games off-roading Segway petition. No, I'm online as True Gumpa. Literally everything at True Gumpa and TrueGumpa.com. And to my right, the one, the only captain of the Enterprise.
What? The captain of the Enterprise isn't here, Joel. The captain of the Enterprise is...
For fuck's sake.
Depending on which generation of the Enterprise, Joel, it's either going to be James T. Kirk, or it could potentially be...
Brandon speaking, by the way.
I tried to help.
No, Captain Pike was in... look, what's important here is that I'm not the captain of the Enterprise. Instead, I am Brandon.
That's correct.
Go by MechaGenre online, and I operate the website MechaGenre.com. Which is not a Star Trek website,
captain,
I swear.
The
I
captain
swear.
Of MechaGenre.com.
I'm the captain of ESS like MechaGenre.com. I make model kits of not Star Trek ships, but
surprisingly, he has a Star Trek kit.
I will do it.
You have it. Your whole entire Playmo Create episode is based around Star Trek for the most part.
Well, I hope you take a look at that Playmo Create episode because I think that you guys will get like an insight into the inside of my brain just by looking at what my workshop looks like.
And coming soon.
Yeah, here's a hint. It's a cliffhanger episode. Halfway through the episode.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Kirk,
who do you have to your right?
Give me a second.
Okay, good. You guys are talking. I'm going to keep on going. So Captain Kirk finds out that there's actually a salt monster on the bridge of the
Enterprise. I think I can mute him. Hold
I'm
on.
Ready.
There we go.
And this is Bailey. Online, Kamau_Zeta on Instagram. And we are collectively the Cutting Mat Podcast. Let's get started.
Beautiful. So actually, I think I met all of you besides Tino. I think we met earlier. Yeah. From Hangar 18, from our local community.
Oh, yes.
Which is
yes,
awesome.
Yes, yes.
I would say we all got together, and then through many stressful and fun events and nights and all kinds of fun shit, we started a podcast. That's pretty fucking dope.
Yeah, that's proof positive.
Yeah, proof positive right there.
Podcasts are weird, you know? Like,
yeah, I don't get
them. This is a weird situation, but I'm really enjoying it a lot, and I think like I recommend you starting a podcast if you feel like you want to.
Not
but let's talk
about Star
Hangar
Trek.
18. Well, maybe. I mean, I would listen to it. Just email me. Email me at mechagenre@gmail.com.
About Star Trek.
About Star Trek.
Actually,
not about anything else. Just Star Trek.
I'll try my best to answer your questions.
So Oh, well, Jinx, you owe me a Star Trek explanation. Not right now, after the podcast. So what we're going to be talking about is kind of going through the start to the finish of, I would say, how collectively we don't have Luke here with us. Damn, we should have brought Luke. But
one of the founders.
Yeah, one of the founders. So if you listen to the last episode, there's a little bit of a history there. So the way I got to the point of finding out where the Model Works group was and where my local hobby store was, the series of tubes that we call the internet. And it's really easy. All they do is search hobby store, your state or city, and just go through there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I did is I was lucky enough, or I would say we are lucky enough, to have a already established group in our state. 9 times out of 10, from what I've seen online, that isn't the case. You're not going to find any established group. You're going to find a local hobby store. The best bet you can do is to go to said local hobby store and just talk with the owner, whoever works there, about, do they do build night meets? Do they do, you know, any type of events? Do they do contests? You know, even like, hey, do you have anyone that's buying Gunpla at all?
Mm-hmm.
And usually 9 times out of 10, I can't speak for every hobby store, but they're willing to have that conversation with you for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the really cool thing is, even hobby stores that don't sell Gunpla currently can maybe be convinced to do so, because it's the sales are kind of on the rise throughout the U.S. and hobby store owners want to make money, and you can really capitalize on this desire of theirs. It's also a good motivation to hold build nights, because when a hobby store owner holds a build night, they identify themselves as a bastion of model kit, you know, expertise, and it brings in a lot more customers for their store.
Generally speaking, if nerds are sitting down somewhere that sells stuff, they're going to buy that stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's the big thing too, is, and there's definitely a little bit of a stigma of like, hobby stores are just in it for the money.
Mm.
Keep in mind, this is a very money-driven hobby. You have to spend money to enjoy this hobby. There's no way around it.
I mean, just like any hobby.
Yeah, just like any hobby, it's going to cost money. There's going to be a store that specializes in it. That's what hobby stores do. So if you have a store and they even, if they don't sell Gundam Model Club, just have the conversation. Show them videos from our meets. Show them the online community that's there and say, hey, this exists. And I'm sure there's 20 or 30 people out there in the state that want to come here and hang out.
Looking
and
for a space.
That's right. And I think I should clarify. I don't mean that hobby store owners only want to make money, but I do mean that if you feel nervous about talking to a hobby store owner about starting up a group in your area, just know that, you know, every small business owner likes to bring people into their store. So, you know, you can use that to your advantage. By having a conversation with someone and asking them to start up a group, mm-hmm. you're helping them and they're helping you. So you have a mutually beneficial relationship there. If mm-hmm. if you're really nervous about talking to someone about that, don't be nervous, right? You're kind of making a business proposal. Hey, if you let us use your space, we'll bring in people who will buy things from your shop. Everybody wins.
That's right.
I think I was going to read Tina's mind, but you're going to say something about an article that you saw. Am I right?
Yeah, I was actually.
You fucking called it, bud.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I'm really good
at
it.
Wait, what Star Trek episode am I thinking of right now?
Oh my God. Episode 3, Anakin Skywalker's Revenge.
You're weirdly correct. How did you do that?
Jesus. Recently, Bandai hit him out.
Whoa. Did you say your knee?
Jesus. Oh. I just hit my ankle on the table there,
bud. We have a medical emergency out in the podcast.
We're keeping that in. Anyways, go ahead.
Recently, Bandai hit a milestone, and what was it? It was 500 million.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the case
sold to date. That's a lot.
Yeah, they gave us some measurements. They talked about going into the space.
That's a lot of plastic.
Yeah, if you stacked them all on top of each other, then it would
go
up.
Everyone's recycling that problem.
A lot.
That's a lot of plastic.
I don't remember the numbers. It's just a lot. Yeah,
it's
you're right.
Ton.
And that's also a good thing to even just, I mean, it sounds stupid, but show the owner, like, hey, you know, if they're like, well, I don't know, be like, hey, come on, bud. They're circling the globe with this shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's practically crack.
And it's really easy to prove to somebody who doesn't believe it that this is a hobby that is not just on the rise but has already become very established.
I think that's the thing with a lot of stores, is that they don't know that there's multiple magnitudes of this hobby. If it's, you know, casual builders, IPMS people, they've got even now like another like lifestyle brand people behind it. There's all these different avenues that you can take with a hobby, but it all starts from buying a kit from your local or online store at the end of the day. And the thing is while I would say most online stores aren't really competitive with local stores, they don't really care, because the thing is, everyone wants to see, all the online store owners that I've talked to, they want to see the hobby grow one way or another. So I think right now, especially in this current, you know, economical climate, I guess,
this current economical climate, please attend C-SPAN briefing for additional information about the NASDAQ.
I just listened to NPR.
The Nazgul is down 10 points. The Frodo's up 10 points today after a booming rally after the one ring was destroyed.
This little boy brought the ring to the volcano and just saved us about 5 hours of time.
Well, here's the thing. Consider the situation where you're dealing with a hobby store that doesn't already carry Gunpla. You're asking a hobby store owner to take on a risk, yes. However, you are also making a proposal to a hobby store owner to take on an additional product which could make them extra money. So there's always that benefit that you're proposing. I mean, this may be a niche situation, but there's probably somebody out there in podcast land, which I assume is a real place, that might have the situation that needs advice on that particular.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of stores and store owners actually listen to this. And one of the best things I would say is going back to, you know, us giving you guys the steps. The first thing to do is look online, like we said, for a hobby store. You found one. Great. You know what? Before you even go to that hobby store, I mean, go there, you know, scope it out, see if they're selling Gundam kits, you know, come back. And then the second thing is, and 9 times out of 10, everyone has Facebook, right? Look for a Gundam builders of your state or
even just like a local nerd group.
Yeah. A local anime club or that's good. Comic book collection.
And they do tend to divide by region or state. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we've got North Carolina nerds or something like that. So
start that, or if there is one, join, be like, hey, you know, I build Gundam scale model kits. Is anyone interested in maybe like setting up a build meet? Great. If you don't find one, or if you want to kind of jump the gun and get it really started, make one. You know, for example, do like we did was the Gundam builders of, I think, Southeast, what John made originally. It's like Gundam builders like Southeast or something like that, but it comes.
Well, it's Southeast now.
Yeah, it was like Florida to North Carolina, pretty much. Yeah, it's not bad. In it. So you know that's a good resource if you're in those areas. But if you want one that's you know to your you know very city or state, just make one. Make one and then advertise it. There's a million platforms now. There's like the Gundam Builders Association, the Gundam Mosh Pit. There's all these discords and even Reddit's a really good spot. I think we got most of our advertising done on Reddit because Tino used Reddit a lot.
Yes.
So we're just like, hey, if you're in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, we're doing this. You'll get one or two hits from that 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
It depends. So you do this, you get an online group or you join an online group. Then once you say you have, you know, 10, 15 different people on there, go to the store and say, hey, I have a group of people that want to come build here. Can we do it? Can we set up a build day? Do you have table space for it? One of your days that you're not busy, so that way we're not intruding on your space. You know, and they're going to say, okay, well, we don't have any Gundam. We're like, well, we just need a spot to build, you know? And if they're very dismissive about having Gundam model kits there, or they don't know what it is, be like, how about this? We'll bring you our stuff that we're building and work on, and you can check it out firsthand, and then kind of see from there if you want to carry it. The thing is, if you search Gundam distribution, there's hundreds, there's a good handful of distribution companies for each coast. And it's very easy to get started if they already have a distribution account for model kits or anything like that. It's really just making a phone call.
For most of those hobby shops, the distributors tend to have
Gundam. Yeah, they tend to carry you. They just don't know where it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's all weird. The thing is, if you don't know what you're looking for, it's very confusing.
Exactly.
And let's say you don't. Let's say you live in like a sparsely populated state like California or something crazy, like out in the middle of nowhere.
California's real?
Yeah, well,
I thought that was a country.
East California's real. West California after the trench incident. So
I thought that stuff was in the clouds.
But the thing is, even if your hobby shop's distributor doesn't sell is it? I didn't get that, Bailey. That was good.
Yeah, no, that was good.
That's quite a...
Go on.
What am I talking about? Oh, yeah, right, yeah. So even if your hobby shop's distributor does not sell Gunpla, you still have a deal that can be made because you and your group are still going to use paints and hobby knives and equipment.
Very true.
And all of the things that they already use for their other model kits, whether they be military models, car models, plane
miniatures,
models. Yeah, miniatures.
RC.
Yeah, Star Trek models. Hey, actually, the thing about Star Trek models is that Well, that's a different podcast.
There you go.
But you still have, there's still something to gain is what I'm saying. So don't be nervous about talking to a hobby store owner. They're usually very fun people.
They're nerds just like you.
Right.
They're just in a position where they could indulge in their hobby on a different scale.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
No, that's mm-hmm. literally correct. So I mean, once you find a hobby store, or you find a comic book store, or Games Workshop, or you know anything, probably not mm-hmm. Games Workshop. I don't think they'll carry it, but you know anything like that, you kind of have already. Shit, you're 40% the way there. Mm-hmm. You've done the hard part. You found the gold mine. And the biggest thing I always hear people is like, there's no hobby store. There's a Barnes & Noble. Talk to Barnes & Noble.
They've got tables.
Yeah.
They have tables. They do hold events. And if it's in most Barnes & Nobles
sell
are now.
Gunpla.
Yeah, they're selling Gunpla. Right. They like want to crazy. See it sell.
And honestly, a lot of Barnes & Nobles are looking for people who can pose their Gunpla correctly. So if you happen to enjoy posing, maybe you can come in there.
I learned something.
I've seen the same display and the same heavy arm.
Beforehand, right?
They get glued over.
I know what you're talking about, Bailey, but like I'm super sick of like seeing a heavy arm sniffing its own farts. Like I don't want to. It's like a weird pose.
Well, that one
don't
you
they
have to
ship that straight from the factory like oh, that.
You have to blame terrible. The distributor for that because they get glued and posed before they're sent to Barnes
yeah,
and Noble.
Like right in the case, right? That's what I thought. Like,
okay,
right
then I have a message for the distributors for Barnes and Noble. Everybody else, just tune this out for a second. This is my message. What the fuck? What the fuck, you guys? Seriously. God damn it. What the fuck? Okay, you guys can tune back in now.
But, you know, so the next best step is finding a venue somewhere you can do it. Now, I will say at this step, if you have no local store, no local Barnes & Noble, nowhere to host this stuff, do it at your house. That's what those Gundam guys, I always thought sound weird saying that. Those Gundam guys is the name of a group
you know
called Those Gundam Guys
in
California.
California.
And the thing is, I don't know
in
where
the
they are
That's
located.
A real place?
Is it a real place? I don't know where they're located exactly, per se, and what their hobby store environment situation is, but
they're
they just do
California,
it.
Yeah.
They do it at one of their houses, mm-hmm. and they've been doing that for years. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a lot of fun. Now, granted, you have to have the space to accommodate a bunch of nerds and be willing to do that, but I'm sure out of all the people you find in your Facebook group or online group that someone has a spot or a house or something you can do this build meet.
There's got to be like a library or like
somewhere
a room at a,
yeah.
at like your local community college or like at a rec center or something. Yeah.
And that's the thing about like a library, for example. These
Coffee shop.
Don't generally get very rowdy. Like this is going to be the kind of thing that you could probably do in a library.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? Yeah. So that's... Yeah,
I
that's
mean,
really
libraries actually, have meeting spaces.
There
yeah,
is...
That's right.
I don't know, it was a while ago, but I found the library in Texas that the gentleman posted displaying his Gundam model kits in the display case in the library, and he would actually build by himself.
Cool.
Now they have a whole group there that's building.
Hey,
in
that's
Texas?
Great.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
In Texas, yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
So, again, that's a really good example of what you can do with that. Now, if you have a little bit of extra cash and you really want to have a local community, you can rent spaces. You can work with, you know, restaurants, entertainment areas, whatever you want to call and say, here's the deal. You know, how much does it cost to do this space? We're willing to pay for it or do something where people have to buy something to get in. I would use that as a last resort because, one, it's going to cost you a lot of money, and, two, it's one of those things you better have that draw to make. It's like booking shows for bands. You better have the draw. The bands better have the draw so that way you can get everyone paid at the end of the night.
Better have a pretty good incentive.
It's almost better just to find someone that has a really nice, you know, a big living room kitchen table to
yeah,
build
that's,
that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like magic, actually, and mm-hmm. Magic the Gathering. The big
oh, yeah.
thing in
it's
there is
a gathering.
Called
it is a gathering.
It's called tabletop magic mm-hmm. or kitchen table magic, where mm-hmm. you just get a bunch of friends mm-hmm. over and you play Magic the Gathering. It's the same mm-hmm. thing with building yeah. model kits.
Did that relatively recently with yeah. I mentioned this last
yeah,
time.
I think so.
With Unstabled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were talking about it.
Yeah, the latest like screwed up set.
Is it like it's like unglued?
Yeah,
yeah, like unglued. Yeah. We did that's that cool. relatively recently. A buddy bought a big booster box, and we did like a Ooh. Draft.
See, that's great. You were wasting your time playing Magic when you could have been building Gunpla.
You
man,
son of
Tina.
A bitch.
Traitor.
Get out.
How dare you?
It was great. I loved it.
Yeah. So, like I mean. Yeah.
One thing I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to do a build meet at like Raleigh Brewing Company
That'd
or something.
That'd be great. Yeah. Like, here's the thing.
That'd be a lot of fun.
You show up at a brewery, right? You're buying beers from them, and you're using their table space.
And more often than not, there's a food truck.
There's always a D&D game going on.
Yep.
Isn't that weird? Like, have you noticed
that? I
would love to play at a brewery.
We couldn't get on the podcast for it, but one of our good buddies always comes out to the conventions that Holy Mountains Printing is at.
Yeah.
They have a podcast called Suddenly Tables. And they literally just go to random
tables.
Like bars and stuff and have impromptu D&D sessions with total strangers.
Wow. I love
cool.
that.
It is so cool. But the thing is, like, they're always doing all these different locations. If you can record a podcast at a bar, you can build some model kits.
Ooh, yep. That sounds great. Yeah. Okay, that's happening right now, by the way. Okay, so you guys all walk into the tavern and you find the fresh smell of oak.
Roll for initiative.
Your nostrils, and you find that in the back.
Oh, wait,
corner,
I've got my dice.
Oh, oh really? Shit. Oh, you do. Well, that's good.
D20.
I carry my dice with me everywhere.
There is going to
case.
Be a Cutting Mat D&D
yeah,
episode
will.
In the future.
It's going to be really
it's
good.
It's going to happen. Yeah. Actually, there might be a Suddenly Tables
it, so that'd be
Cutting Mat collaborative episode.
Yeah, somebody's going to burst through the door in here and just start DMing for us.
That's
going to be fantastic.
Create a character and everything.
Yeah,
and
the whole
stuff,
nine
right?
yards.
That'd be interesting.
So,
I think
yeah.
be super fun.
Well, I think we've covered the basics of, you know, I mean, basic stuff. It really
that
is
early part.
Basic stuff. Finding an online community that's already existing and joining it. If there's not one, make your own.
A local
hashtag.
Yeah.
And where do you advertise?
Association.
Right.
No, hashtag do it badly.
Yeah,
going
hashtag
back
do it
said.
Badly.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, right? Like, your do it badly was a recommendation that I got from a non-model building source. I don't remember the exact source, but it applies to a lot of different things, and it can also apply to a lot of peripheral interests. So not only yeah. Gunpla, you've got other model builders. You've got people who play Magic the Gathering. You have people who play other nerdy games like tabletop games. A lot of people share common interests. This was a point that we touched on in the last episode. So
get
if you need
involved.
To recruit, yeah, get involved in these other groups. You have interests. Hopefully some of your interests have groups near you, mm-hmm. and you may be surprised to find that people who share your interests may think similarly to you,
yeah.
and they may enjoy the same things that you do. And if maybe they haven't heard of Gunpla before, they may like to hear about it, and maybe they'd be interested in that as well. So you could, you know, make your own group totally from scratch if you need to. Worst case scenario. But we mentioned one thing earlier that I wanted to touch on a bit more, and that was the difference between an online community and an in-person community.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, it's night and day.
That's the thing. When you say it's night and day, what do you mean by that?
So starting an online community, I would say for the most part, it's pretty simple.
And it's pretty popular to do.
It's pretty popular. I mean, you just make a Discord. There you go.
Yeah, sure.
Make a Discord, advertise it, make a Facebook group, you advertise it.
Hawk out that Discord. Yeah.
You know,
link.
Send it out, say, hey, you know, I do this, and this is what makes me different from others. That's the other
you
thing
get
right 20, now.
20, 30 people coming in. Right?
Yeah. That's not bad. And yeah. the thing is there's so many different groups that do different stuff, like the Gunpla Builder Association is primarily a Twitch-based group. We revolve around all the
yeah.
Twitch streamers. In that online community, and then you have, you know, like the Reddit Gunpla group. That's obviously for the Reddit users on the internet. So there's all kinds of groups out there that you can find, but if you just want to make your own just for you and your group of friends, do it. That's how the GBA got started. It was five or six people.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a couple thousand. You know, it's not hard to say, you know, if you want to run a big online community and host for everyone to come and join, you can definitely do it, but starting online is very easy. You have that same connection. It's not the same exactly, but you still have a connection
mm-hmm.
of getting to know your local builder online builder.
You could say that it's low activation energy. Like if you want to start a community, but you don't want to necessarily go out and petition local hobby store owners, that's a good way to do it. You could also join an existing online community.
Yeah, get involved.
Yeah, but one of my favorite parts of the GBA, and GBA has a Discord, which is fantastic. I recommend that you check it out, is that we're Bailey and I, and Tino, are you an Anaheim engineer as well?
I don't think so.
Well, Bailey and I are what is referred to as Anaheim engineers, and that means that people ask us questions, technical questions.
Oh,
about
I'm definitely
builds.
Not one of the technical answerers.
Well, and we get to answer them. And
along
it's,
with yeah. a good bunch of other, like,
yeah.
you know,
like
yeah.
five
experience
or six other
that's, it's
builders.
Fantastic. Like, just being able to answer questions for builders.
Sorovan, Saiporian? Yeah, yeah.
And I have no idea what you just said, but what's super cool here is, like people...
Well, at the very least, those are, like, wargaming, or not miniature names, aren't they? Like, Sword
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right.
Back on topic.
Yeah,
Bailey.
Back on topic.
So anyway, in conclusion, I think that Picard is better than Kirk because the thing
no,
is...
Shit. Oh, God.
Kirk is
I'm
like,
sorry.
We're right on look, track.
I'm sorry, people. I'll reset him.
Wait, were you guys talking... So the thing is, like, we get to answer questions from these, like, community
yes.
Members. But
questions
the thing
come
is,
up,
like,
you know,
but I can't show them.
Like, seam lines, things like that.
But,
know.
Like, I don't get to show them.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite things is whenever I'm in person with someone and they say, hey, Brandon, like, how do I get rid of this nub mark? It's, like, in a weird place. I can pull out my file set and say, here's the deal. I bought this file set for $3, like, at Harbor Freight or whatever. And you can use this curve file like this. And I can demonstrate a technique that someone else hasn't seen before. And sometimes that's more effective.
It's game-changing.
Yeah, having
which
someone who...
We've done, which is why we've had those workshops.
Yeah, that's super fun. And just earlier tonight, Bailey brought in a Zagok that he's been working on, and it looks super awesome. But without, you know, without him bringing that in and us being here in person...
And I'm legit terrible at pictures. So.
I would just, yeah. I would
well, me too. That's the thing. Like, me and Bailey have a lot of experience, like, building shit, but we're not so good at pictures. Like, I can take a selfie, but it looks like my
well,
face.
I saw Bailey's build online. Yeah. He posted a couple pictures on Instagram. I was like, oh, shit, it looks really dope. But getting to handle the model and hold seeing
it.
Every yeah. bit, I was like,
man,
oh, shit,
around,
that's
down.
Really cool.
Because
yeah.
you'll probably never see the rest of the feed.
You'll never see
right.
it.
Like, after that first post... And but then, like, you got the little propellers in there.
I mean, it's like
so
judging
cool.
model kits.
That's exactly right.
Like, we've had a lot of contests with GBA, mm-hmm. and I've done a fuck ton of judging online for contests, and you only have those pictures. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. it. It's on, you know, if they have a good camera, is the lighting good? Do they know how to take pictures?
Yeah,
you know,
that's the problem. With it in yeah. Photoshop
it,
or something.
But
yeah,
in person, I can ask mm-hmm. before handling their model.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
the important thing.
And always ask before you handle your friends' models. But when you get a look at it, you get to inspect everything. You get to see what that builder was seeing when they're working on their kit, and mm-hmm. that's where the night and day difference comes in.
Mm-hmm. Not just that, but you might also have them next to you telling you like parts that they had been working
yeah,
on
exactly.
specifically, or like something that went wrong that they were able to fix, or maybe they figured out something cool that mm-hmm. while they yeah. were doing it.
And the thing with that too is at our meets, that always happens. We always have these
non-stop
these shop talks.
Keeps people coming in yeah. every Sunday.
And the thing is, I always tell people
one
like
person in here you can catch red-handed doing that.
It's always Bailey.
Bailey
always
will
Bailey.
Talk shop with you for 6 hours, and I know that because it has happened to me before.
Yeah,
and it was
it's
super
happened.
Fun. And the only downside was that by the time I was done talking, I was hoarse. That's the only downside. It is super fun to talk to people in person about. Like stuff that they're really interested in.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Awesome. I was going to say the big thing with that is getting to see this person explain what they did mm-hmm. and how they did, like Brandon was saying with the example of tools. I've done so many dry brushing, just, you know, she's like, here's how you do dry brushing the right way. And
it's hard
like,
to describe
oh,
dry brushing.
Well, the thing like, is, I always tell people, like, you should do like a YouTube channel on this. No one wants to do that because then you have to sit there and try to take what you just explained to me. Yeah. And do it 100 times better so the internet can understand mm-hmm. it. The internet's not going to sit there and ask you questions. I mean, that's why I think Twitch is so great because you do have that real time, like, hey,
yeah.
let me see the backpack for that. Here's the backpack. What else do you want to
yep.
know?
Yep, that's
you
right.
You have that ability to interact in person, but again, it's is your webcam good? Is your internet connection
yeah.
good? Is your lighting
yeah,
good?
That's exactly
can
right.
you explain stuff
lag?
To an internet chat room?
You know,
there's a lot of
those,
things on
doing
it.
Doing those videos or even, you know, posting photos, it's a good talent to have, certainly.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
it is. Yep.
It's almost...
it's a second hobby.
It, yeah, exactly, because it's peripheral to, you know, building models. It's connected, certainly, because
oh, yeah.
you're thinking about visuals, you're thinking about, you know, perspective and, you know, what catches the eye and whatnot. That's what we do as model builders. But as you said, it is a second hobby. You
it's
know,
really
video
is.
Editing, you know,
video
sound,
shooting.
Things like that, all of that. Yeah.
At best, it's a meta hobby. So
this,
you're,
it's
you
a
have
hobby
a hobby that's about your hobby.
I will
to
say,
hobby.
But at worst, it's a totally second hobby. And
this hobby alone is the biggest creator of meta hobbies.
Oh, it sucks.
Oh, yeah.
God, it's so many hobbies. This is a single hobby, which is building painting, taking pictures, taking videos, writing websites, doing podcasts.
Podcasting.
It's like, it's just, you start with building Gunpla because a Gunpla look real cool, and then you find out that actually you have like 20 billion other hobbies that you have to tell your fiance about, and then it's like, well, all right, or maybe wife. I don't want to marry you. So.
But on some real shit, though, this hobby has a lot of professional stuff you can get into.
That's true.
Before I got into this hobby, I was kind of dicking around with, you know, taking photos and doing video shoots and all that shit. I am now, I would say, semi-professional product photographer for one of my dream companies.
Well, that's awesome. Dude.
Because I was taking pictures of tiny robots and trying to figure out how to make them look cool.
But just doing something, like, you know, there's that Adventure Zone quote, which is like being bad at something is like the first step of being sort of good at something. Just from doing something over and over again, you get a lot better at it. And just doing something that's peripheral to your hobby, you're going to gain these skills. You'll gain experience, and you'll eventually level up, and you'll get a whole lot better at it.
And then offering advice about it, which is something that we do.
That's, again, another big part of the hobby, too, is also talking about, like, I mean, Justin and Guilo and everyone they've done, like, hey, lighting tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
This
That's
is how
so
you take
useful.
Lighting, you know, lighting of your model.
Because somehow I've gotten worse at taking pictures over time. Like, have you guys noticed? Have you guys noticed that, like, my photography skills are so I bring in like the Burton Zam and everybody's like, "Wow, that's really cool." And I take a picture of it, and they're like, "Why did you just send me a potato?" Like, is that literally? I like where you put the knots in the eyes.
Are you using
but, like,
your
N
gauge
like,
to take these?
Did
photos?
You even? Yeah, you know, they're like, "Yeah, no, I like it's cuneiform. Like, I literally chiseled out the picture of the Barzam on a tablet and I sent it to the contest." Because it's not my skill. Like, my skills are, whenever I build model kits, I'm super detail-oriented, but when you take pictures, sometimes that doesn't always work, you know.
And that's one of the things I will say to kind of get back on track with the starting your own community is when you have that in-person community and you have people that are skilled at taking photos or really good at doing video content, you're able to learn those skills
as
well.
Share the knowledge.
Or even just have... like we did at Hangar 18, we're actually Tina, this was kind of your idea. At the end of all the meets, everyone takes a photo of all the group builds.
Yes.
It wasn't my idea. I just urged it on because they, well, no, it's like it was Julian and the other guy who was at IPMS with us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't remember your name right now. And a couple other guys that just lined their stuff up and took a shot.
Awesome.
And then they posted it, and I was like, I want to see this happen,
you know,
at the end of every meet from now on.
Well, we used to do for the contest, do little photography sessions.
Mm-hmm. That's
where
so cool.
Me or Joseph would bring our cameras. We had set up a little, like, backdrop and take photos. Now, you know, some of our younger modelers that don't have access to expensive cameras or really, you know, just aren't, they don't know how to take photos, can post these photos online, but, like, check out what I build. Now people get a better idea, a visual of what this person is doing, and they can say, hey, my community helped me do this. Like, it wasn't just me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good building.
Well, you know what you don't have to worry about with Star Trek models?
Oh, fuck.
Posing.
Star Trek models are not posable. Except for the AMT Captain Bridge setup.
Well, let me tell you about the Captain Bridge setup. So technically, the AMT Captain Bridge setup comes with pre-posed figures of all the,
all right.
The crew.
So
you
Brandon's going to go start his own Star Trek modeling club in North Carolina.
The Northern Lights was a lot worse.
Maintaining the community. Things that we've done, because we started talking about it just now.
Yeah, so this is, I would say, there's half and half to these questions that I get. It's normally, it's not even questions. Usually when we post a video from Hangar 18 or any of the events we do, it's always, I wish this was here.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yep.
It's not, how do I do?
You guys have a great community. How do I get that? Well, they don't actually ask.
They don't ask that. They say, I wish I had this in my area.
But
I wish
you get
I
the feeling, right?
The
you
people
get the feeling that it's like, how do I do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the people that are asking the how do I's are ones that have done the first steps that we talked about. They found a hobby store. They found an existing local
faltered.
Community. And they've joined in or started their own.
They felt burned a little bit by it.
The biggest thing I can say, if you are going to do this, and you've already gone past the first step's the easy step. It's either they do or they don't. When you get into trying to mate, you've had your first meet, you had 10, 15 people, it was a great fucking time. Now you have to maintain that. You have to wrangle a bunch of nerds together to sit in one area for 4 to 6 hours and build.
Usually
like herding
once
a bunch
you get,
of cats.
But see, once you get the cats in that one area, there's a bunch of mice to play with.
So
once
you get
the
used
nerds,
to it,
they get used to it. They want to go back.
They want to go back. And that's the good thing about this is, like, I'm sure people are like, well, fuck, now this sounds scary to do. It's not. You have the environment. You've already found a space. Obviously, people came out initially. And if that second meet, they keep coming, you're in a good momentum. You want to keep that up. So the best thing you can do for it is to start doing little fun group builds. Not contests, not GBWC qualifiers.
Friendly competition.
Friendly competition. Say, hey, next month, let's all buy the same kit and let's just do whatever we want to it. Or I have a bunch of, you know, SD kits. Let's have an SD build off. You don't have to offer any prizes. People around you, they want to do that initially. They don't want to win anything. It's not an online contest. If you notice, and I'm guilty of this as well, a lot of the online contests are third place gets my car. You know, they get like crazy prizes because you have to get these people involved. And the thing is, while there are other smaller contests that are happening where it's like a fun group build off, those are already circles of friends. They're not communities. They're just
that's a different thing. Yeah. A community is more than just one circle of friends.
Exactly. It's multiple circles making one of those weird
meeting people that you otherwise wouldn't have met.
It's getting out of your comfort zone. Yeah.
Eventually you can build into a circle of friends. But a community is more than that. You have to be able to reach out to people that you don't necessarily know or like.
Well, I mean, a great example is the Four Horsemen. They did a really good job of saying, okay, all of us, the four of us, and then everyone watching, we're going to build these SD Zakus. And you can follow along. That's a really good thing to do if you're looking to get more people involved. There's no prize for it. There's no nothing for it. It's just a good, you know, group activity. Mm-hmm. The thing is, you have to think of a group activity that's good for like 20, 30 people locally. The best way to do that, if you have a hobby store, tell them, say, hey, I'm thinking that we should do like a contest or something. What's a kit that you can get a lot of? Or would you be down with throwing in maybe like store credit or something for like, a you know, just like, hey, the best of the build award. You start building that momentum to where the store owner is going to say, okay, let's do a high grade contest. They're going to order a bunch of high grades they know are going to sell in the day they come in. Literally, I've seen a Hangar team where the owner, Brian, will open up a box, take the kits out, and then people take the kits and they buy them.
Gustav can't even price them in time.
I've done that before too.
Gustav car.
Every time I'm in there while he's unloading kits, I always check the boxes. But that's, you know, because I know I'll never get anything otherwise. But that's a really good position to be in as a store owner.
And
because
you
have guaranteed sales.
That's what it turns into. Yeah. Because you have people asking you, hey, when did your shipment come in, bud?
Yep. But you sell the contest as a guaranteed sale, right?
Exactly.
Because in order to enter the contest, you have to buy the kit. But that's super fun because people will get to build a kit they wouldn't normally build.
Exactly.
And the store owner gets to sell a bunch of kits that add to their bottom line. So everybody's happy.
Now, the best thing is usually I would say most people wanting to start a community in their local area, they're usually an experienced builder. Or they're in that medium line to where, you know, they know what they're doing and they can probably tell 10 other people how to do it. The best thing to do is workshops.
Yeah, workshops are great. I mean, they're super fun for experienced builders, and they're also especially fun for like mid-level builders to get a lot better at what they do. Because
you have people that are, you know, they are in the hobby and they're interested in learning more about how to do it. They get to that point. Certainly, we've had it in our community where they've built a bunch of kits, they've snapped it, you know, they put it together, and they're interested in, well, you know, maybe if I top coat it, it might make, you know, look a little bit nicer. You know, if I do some, instead of, like, a good example, instead of using the Gundam markers, you know, what about panel line wash or things like that? And it's like, well, you know, we can show those basic things and then we could take it further, you know.
But even if no one knows how to use panel line wash in the club, just like meeting up and just dicking around with it, like together as a group. If nobody knows how to use it, you meet up and you dick around with the thing and try to figure it out. I learned by failing. I don't know about everybody else, but I've failed so many times.
Yeah.
I'm like the world's second biggest failure. What were we talking about at the beginning of this episode? Some Pokemon Arm and
Star
Hammer.
Trek.
Pokemon Arm and Hammer
not
did
Star
not
Trek
sell.
For fuck's sake.
So anyway, much like Reginald Barkley, like my whole deal is I like.
I'm sorry.
I like
so
try to do something and
smooth,
and it maybe it doesn't work out.
Is there
right?
A holodeck of the three of us that you just kind of fucking
we're
play
on it.
Around?
We're on it, man. You're watching it. We're on it right
shit.
Now.
Well, the good thing with even, you know, intermediate, you know, try new things is also, I would say
we don't live in the same society.
Not Groupon, a holodeck.
Groupon.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's go do something.
Yeah.
Event.
Right.
And one of the biggest things, well, I say probably one of the most attended workshops we do are the basic kind of build Gunpla workshop.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you don't have to be an expert is what I'm saying.
No.
You can have some basic idea of what you're doing. Your skills will improve by teaching a workshop on this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So don't think you have to be an expert to run a workshop. You can just have a basic idea of what's going on, or you can watch a few YouTube videos.
That is very true. You know, as a teacher, the best way to get better is that experience, that kind of mastery of your craft as you're showing it to people.
And Bailey is a professor, like a legit,
like a
literal
adjunct teacher,
like legit. Bailey
I'm
teaches
not
people
right now either.
Real things, real non-plastic model.
Well,
things.
Yeah, I mean that's what I was saying. So you know, teaching and just even if you talk about the basic stuff or going through the steps, you really hone in on what you're doing. And
a good example. Well, shout out to B. B hasn't been building that long, and she did a basics class at her local community. The fucking news came and interviewed her about it. It was wild. But that's something that you wear both in teaching those classes and doing the research for it made her a better builder. And we actually use what's the channel that we use for our workshop?
Gunpla Lab, Professor Lee on YouTube.
Yeah, we kind of have almost like a follow along. Like we'll show a sample of his video. Obviously, it's in Korean, so we have to explain it.
Translated by a friend Alex DeDoof.
Alex DeDoof translated it, and we use that as a big reference visual, and then we go around individually and show people what he was explaining. And that's something too where you have to watch that video multiple times to be like, okay, we're going to teach that here. Then you do it in practice by yourself at home. Then you go do it in the workshop.
That's the thing. You learn, you become semi-proficient, not fully proficient, very important, semi-proficient.
Yeah.
Enough that you can repeat it in front of people.
Don't call yourself a Gunpla professor or whatever.
Only Bailey can call himself
a Gunpla professor.
No.
Welcome to Gunpla 101. I am your Majin Kawaguchi.
Yeah, you guys heard it. Fear first. Tino's the Majin Kawaguchi.
No, that was said in jest. I am not the guy
who's done it.
That was said in jest.
So step one, show someone something that they want to learn. Step two, you repeat it for them in front of them so they can ask questions. And then step three, very important, let them do it themselves.
Yes.
And watch them. Because when someone does something, they have questions, and it's really nice to have somebody there to be able to answer those in real time.
We did that with the top coat section.
That's
of
right.
Our workshop. We went outside, a big group outside, you know, field trip as we called it. And
it was good.
It was
great. We showed them here's how you do it. All right, line up. Everyone's going to do a pass on this.
Every
on this
single
start
person in that.
Before the part, and after the part, things like that. Yeah.
And the thing is so many people that I knew they had questions, but they weren't going to ask them because they were afraid to. And then when they tried it, they had a million questions.
Before they pushed it down.
That's exactly right.
Like, all right, hold on. What do I do now?
Yeah. You know? All of a sudden, it's on the line, right? Everybody's watching you paint this kit. But even more so than that, it's like people are milling around, don't ever paying attention. And then you have a little bit of one-on-one time with the instructor, so you can ask. You feel a lot more comfortable asking questions. And I've huffed a lot of spray. I mean, I've sprayed painted a lot of things in my day. And so like for me to answer questions about spray painting, that is like second nature. But for some of these people, they've never sprayed anything in their life. So these are skills that may seem basic to you, but someone wants to know how to do that.
You
know, there's someone.
It.
Yeah.
It's a little off topic, but actually in South Korea, there's a lot of, and in Japan as well, there's a lot of hobby stores that do one-on-one lessons. You literally, it's like getting a guitar lesson. Mm-hmm. You pay someone to sit down and say, okay, what do you want to learn? Airbrushing. Let's start.
I just bought a ticket to Korea. I'll see you guys. I'll see you guys over there next time.
But you know,
Professor Lee does that actually.
Yeah, he does that. And
that's so cool.
EndMaker. And Knot Maker,
they
open up a store, I believe, where they have, I mean, God, the hobby stores in Japan and South Korea, they
don't
have all these spray booths. Yeah. Oh, it's heaven on earth. But
that's why it's such a cool, like, you look at your American hobby stores and like your Japanese hobby stores, a lot of things are very similar. But we mentioned in probably the first episode of this podcast ever that you see a skew towards cars and military, you see a skew towards, you know, sci-fi.
In the next couple of years, I think we're going to have that change to where
a
lot of American hobby stores are going to look like the OG ones in Japan.
And you can help. You can start this by building these communities in your local hobby stores.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you can donate $1 a day to Tino. I'll make this come true.
No, I already tried that on a different podcast with me and Tino, and donating $1 a day did nothing for Tino except... bolstered his plastic model addiction.
Oh, shit.
So, I'm huffing it now, boys.
He's huffing plastic models, guys. This is the worst.
Whole plastic models.
Don't watch. You can't watch. How does it fit in his mouth? What has happened?
Oh, shit. This is like when you tried drinking Zyrtec.
Is that a solid?
It's a flashback to episode one. No one seemed to caught that. Yeah, you drink some Zyrtec and eat some Slonase.
Yeah. I said I was snorting Zyrtec.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that won't help, though, right? Like, that wouldn't help you snort the Zyrtec, and then your sinuses get worse.
It comes in a tab. You can, you know.
Anyways, we're not here to talk about taking allergy medicine as a recreational drug.
We're not that kind of podcast. We're a reputable, highly respected.
I'm on it right now.
The national.
Right?
I popped a Zyrtec, and I'm good.
The local Chamber of Podcast Commerce rates us very highly.
Sponsored by North Carolina Poly.
We're highly rated in the local podcast Chamber of Commerce. Which is a thing that I just made up, but in my head we're like extremely highly rated.
We're the top of the top,
I'm just saying.
So we kind of discuss the benefits of that in-person.
Yeah, having that in-person connection, then also going to kind of those first steps of maintaining it. Start small, workshops, group builds. We're at that level where we've gotten past the small stuff. Now we need to do more big boy contests.
That's
when the fun comes in.
But don't rush this. I mean, starting small, you can start doing these small builds, and it might take between 6 and 8 months.
And
just a repetitive, you know, have people show up, do little builds, do little workshops, and get people used to showing up and seeing a build.
You know, having that schedule is good.
You do not want to start big. Mm-hmm. The reason I say that is because 9 times out of 10, a lot of the prize support that we do comes out of my pocket. And when I'm like, fuck, I can just do $100 first prize. Well, guess what? Now the next 5 contests have to beat that. Or you have to keep it the same. You've already set the bar at 100. You cannot go lower than that.
You have to build up a reputation to get the prize support from the local stores. Luckily, Joel lives on a gold-plated yacht.
Shit.
So we just chip pieces of it off
This is January Zesty Build. I see a master grade build off in our future, boys. But no, I mean, that's honestly, it's a gone on a shoe. Like, do not start off big. Because, I mean... And explain this. The biggest thing, the biggest thing you can be in this hobby, if you are a if you are a community leader, organizer, if you're in this in the eye of your community, be honest and be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Because the biggest thing is that you don't want to start off big and then people are like, hey, what happened to the prize support? Tell them, hey, guys, we're starting small because we want to see this grow. We want to get to the point where we can offer you guys, you know, couple $100 for first place, you know, whatever the case is, but we need to get to that point first. You're gonna have a community of people that want to keep building, get to that point, because I mean, let's face it, that's a lot of money for model kits.
It'll happen eventually.
You'll get there.
Having some people think that having ambition means going for everything that you want right away, but in truth, if you're really ambitious, you can delay gratification and form a plan that allows you to build things up at the right pace so that you get everything that you need with the right support that you need behind it. And I'm going to step on Bailey's toes like a lot right now and say that the overjustification effect is real. If you give people huge prize support early on, they'll probably stop coming to your contest when they find out that there aren't any prizes.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let people expect prizes.
Mm-hmm.
The fun is entering the contests and you know, winning them. Somebody wins every contest. Did you guys notice that somebody wins every contest?
Yeah, it's wild. It's almost like people enter them.
I don't understand it. It's like every time there's a contest, somebody wins it. I honestly don't understand the correlation. I've been considering graphing it myself. But
well, it's a contest, not a commune or something.
Well, that's what in a commune, not everybody wins all the time. No. Don't drink the Flavoaid.
Thank you. It is Flavoraid. It's not Gatorade.
No, and it wasn't Kool-Aid.
It wasn't Kool-Aid.
Dude,
it was Flavoraid.
Yeah.
Like Faygo?
What is that?
Did you know that Jim Jones didn't drink the Flavoraid? Jim Jones had somebody shoot him because he was a coward because he couldn't drink the Flavoraid.
This is for a whole different podcast.
Whoa, we derailed so hard.
That's supposed to be an intro.
Just kind of went last podcast and left there for a second.
That's intro material, guys.
But no, I mean, like you're saying, the over,
justification.
The whole entire effect is very true, because it's just like giving a kid a full size candy bar for Halloween. They're gonna expect that every fucking time they go trick or treating. You're like, listen here, little shit.
I hate that's not what's gonna happen.
Like, but you can't blame people for that because
but
it's human nature.
Before you had the fun size candy bar, didn't you enjoy it when you first got it?
Yeah, absolutely.
They used to be fun.
Because at that point it was fun, but then you got the whole size candy bar.
But the thing is, I think when you get enough fun size candy bars, you get to appreciate getting those, and when you get the big one, you still appreciate the small contest. And that's the biggest thing that right now with Hangar 18 is that we've done the big size king size candy bars.
That's what I was
For a local meet, we've had more prize support than international competitions. But that's because I'm also like a parent that's going to spoil the fuck out of their kids. But everyone understands that, and they understand, okay, that's not going to happen a lot of times. It's a one or two time thing when we can do it.
Because we built up to that.
We built up to it. We did a bunch
Everybody's
of like, hey.
Got an expectation.
Yeah,
now.
I think we did one where like the first place prize was just a high grade kit. Mm-hmm. And people were fine with that. And if I went today and said, hey, we're going to do a build off for 2 months and first place gets the master grade, people would be like, fuck yeah, let's go. It's just be fun.
Yeah, sure. Why not? If it said we're going to do a build off for 2 months and the first place gets a high grade, who cares?
Shit, we can get offered no prize and people would be down for it.
That's also true.
It's one of those things.
And you could even have something as small as we're going to put this piece of paper next to this door and we're going to write the contest and your name on it when you win. And that's what you get. You get bragging rights.
I mean, honestly, bragging rights are pretty fun. It's like, hey, I actually saw someone post it today. They had their two kits in a Hobby Town. They're like, my two kits are in a Hobby Town because I won. Go check it out.
That's
great. Fucking awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool as hell.
Yeah, displaying kits, that's another thing that's awesome. So allowing a hobby store owner to display your kits. Sorry, I was choking on several,
Star Trek.
Several
quotes.
There's a triple, you see. There's a very large triple, and I was trying to... What's important is... it's complicated. I'll draw a diagram later on, and we'll post it in the Patreon or whatever. Yeah. So, but that's the thing. Like, your builders are going to want to display their kits in the store. You want the best builders to display their kits. Mm-hmm. The best way to have the best builders display the best kits is to offer that as a prize for a contest. You get to display your build until the next contest.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, like putting your kid's drawing on the fridge.
Yeah.
You know? It's one of those things where you do it at first. They could fucking throw up on a piece of paper. You're like, you know what?
Oh, that
that's
was me, man.
Your barf.
Yep, that's where I started
and you
from.
Put it up. But then, again, you kind of graduate to where you're like, well, do something different. And they'll do something different.
Yeah, they barf in a shape, and then they end up with, yeah, that's great.
Then they use the barf as paint.
Sure.
Like, fucking what the fuck's wrong with
you,
bud? You
might be, maybe my kid's going to be a serial killer. What's going on?
That's Rodin right there. That's really crafty.
it's
but, I mean,
it's the thinker. What is happening here?
The
as
ochre
weird,
in the vomitus.
As See, weird as the that analogy is, it's very true. And it's one of those things where we always have like a best improved award. I feel like we do the Dundies when we do our contest.
We kind of do, but the thing is, the Dundies are great because you got a lot of really new builders.
Yeah,
and you want to hear that. Hey, when you started, like you're pretty bad at this. Yeah. You don't tell them that, obviously.
I mean,
you start with Vaughn, yeah. But
no.
Wait, I thought you were saying Vaughn. I thought you were talking about like the no. But the thing about Vaughn is that. That guy makes the greatest kit bashes
he's
I've ever seen. I've
seen
this before.
But I remember when he first started.
Zaku or Zundum or whatever
well, the,
it is.
The only
that he's
challenge,
going
and he's we've talked about this before. He and I That's have no discussed Zaku. The challenge that he has, which is painting.
Yeah.
No. He's the greatest kit basher in the world.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. But the thing is, the latest things that I've been seeing on Facebook from Vaughn are just like masterpieces.
They're insane. They just need to be painted.
Yeah, he's got an eye for detail. He's like a hot rod builder. Like, you know, back in the day, you could take multiple parts from different cars and you make the lines line up and you build something that didn't exist before.
Mm-hmm.
He is designing mecha using parts of existing mecha.
Yeah,
exactly why I had him as
but regardless,
one of the speakers in the workshop.
Yeah, this is a guy who started out with our group.
The base level.
Yeah, at the base level. And now he is like... I consider him to be like extremely high tier.
Oh yeah, for
I'm
sure.
Really impressed by everything he does. It's great.
And the thing is like when you have builders like that, make sure to give them that recognition. I'm not saying everyone gets a fucking trophy at this point, but you know,
everyone gets a high five.
You got to understand like, hey dude, like you started from just snap building to like you're doing these insane fucking kit bashes to where like people like Justinius Builds and everyone are recognizing what you're doing on no longer a local level per se.
And that's the best part about it. Like you've got people like Tino over here who started
fucking
out.
Fucking Tino!
He's going to build a Mizaku cannon. That's cool. Well, what if you paint it up like Torg? Like that's an interesting idea. Well,
you fucking did it, bud.
Yeah, not
I
only
just
did
like
you,
turning things into cartoons,
but you turn that into a cartoon, Tino, and I'm very proud of you for it. And I've told you that before. I keep on going back to it, but that's a fantastic example of a case where, like, you can do that now. You can do that anytime you want because you have the skills for it.
Yeah,
and you can pass that forward as well.
Yeah,
Having that community is like just having that just like group of just family members that you can just be like, I want to do this. And they're like, well, fuck yeah, bud, let's go do it.
Yeah. Right.
And you can have that community building, that skill exercise, that execution, everything in it evolved. You can just do it on a fucking Sunday afternoon at your local hobby store.
That's super fun. Right. Or like, what solvent is this? I don't know. Make Brandon sniff it. Like, that's a super fun thing to do.
That's my favorite game.
That is my favorite game.
That has 20% xylene in it.
Dude,
that's
the xylene,
why it's so effective.
You don't want to use xylene and tie you in on things that are enamel. That's a bad idea.
Like, we are the family that enables your plastic addiction.
For real. That's for real. For real. And honestly, you meet a lot of good friends. I was actually telling this to the guy that runs Simp Models, John. I was like, man, you know, back in the day, I used to be in a band. So I was surrounded by a lot of people that weren't really friends, but they wanted to be for whatever, you know, to say they are kind of thing. And I was like, I've met some of my literal best friends just through building fucking scale model kits on a Sunday.
That's right.
You know, it's something to where any of us around here would be like, hey, man, you have a build night? Are you free? Yeah, let's go fucking do it. Done. Go do it. It's one of those fucking things for sure. So, you know, I think we covered a lot of basics here in terms of, you know, how to start a group, how to maintain it, the benefit. I mean, there's countless benefits. The only negatives about it is that it might cost you as the organizer a little bit of money. And that's something to where you have to expect that with doing something like this. There's no way around it.
But there's ways to do it to minimize that.
There's a way to do it for free. There's a way to do it
free. Definitely plan it out and make sure it doesn't impact you.
That's exactly right. What do you want to put into it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever you want to put into it, there's a way for you to put that amount into it. So don't be discouraged. You can do whatever you want to do. We believe in you. Do it badly.
Do it badly. Now, this isn't going to be the end-all definition of how to start a local hobby meet 101.
Yes, it is.
This is definitely from our experience.
This is, exactly. From our experience, I just want to make sure you guys know that. But if you have any questions, all of our inboxes are open.
Yeah, for real.
All of our emails are open.
All the time.
What's your email?
Mine is literally just truegumpla@gmail.com.
And mine is mechagenre@gmail.com.
Mine is kamau_zeta@yahoo.com.
Shit. What? Yahoo?
Yahoo.
What are you, the nice
showing your age there, bud?
That's right.
Mine is bigvroman@gmail.com.
Hell,
that's
yeah.
Not a capital V. It's BIGVRONAN.
Yeah. Oh, I get where. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't
big
get
V. No one says big V. Like a BJ. Oh, shit.
What?
Hello.
So well, welcome to the first mature podcast of the Cutting Mat.
anyways, after there's dark. There's a lot of resources available to you. If you have any questions, just come let us know. We'd be more than glad to help.
Real.
That's actually what I've been doing. I've been working with a lot of different states and starting their local communities. So again, my services are free. So
Joel's a fantastic community organizer. If you're looking to get something started up, talk to Joel. If you're looking for more technical advice, you can reach out to me or Bailey. If you're looking for advice on the heart of your group, reach out to Tino. That's my recommendation.
The heart.
You know what?
He's the heart.
Want to see?
Tino just shed a tear right there.
You know what I want to see?
What?
We're going to have probably some people coming from this, listening to this and you know, going out there and starting these things up. So
hell yeah.
How about we see a hashtag run from this anytime, you know, somebody's starting up a meeting.
Oh yeah.
Taking pictures, shooting some video. How about we see
putting in the Cutting Mat Podcast.
Drop the Cutting Mat Podcast hashtag in there.
Yep, Cutting Mat Podcast, do it badly. We'll see both of those. If you're coming out to Animazement in a couple of weeks, we're gonna be doing a Gumpla panel over there. So please, if you're in the area of Raleigh, North Carolina, and it's Raleigh, North Carolina, yeah. Raleigh, North Carolina, in a couple of weeks. I believe it's Memorial Day weekend. Please stop by and ask us your questions in person. We'll be willing to answer anything that you may ask. And when I say anything, I mean...
quite literally anything.
I mean, honestly.
Anything.
You can
Brandon
ask...
will answer.
I will answer any question you ask me.
And
I
another
guarantee.
One, real quick.
Too. Oh, yeah.
If you are starting a local community and you either, you know, if you've already done it, you've got some tips or whatever you learned from this podcast... do what Bailey said, put the Cutting Mat Podcast online, or even just send us your social media post. And what I will do personally, if you're starting, already have a group, might send you out some free stickers or something to pass out your group. Like maybe like a couple t-shirts to give away to kind of get that stuff going. Because people love free stuff and you have something to offer. There you go. And again, if you ever need any advice, we are all open because we want to see this thing grow as big as we can get it.
Yeah, we're really happy to help. This is something that we want to see everyone in the U.S. have who wants to have a Gunpla community
every
has
state.
Access to a Gunpla community.
I want
right.
to see every state have a local meetup.
At least one. Yep.
Hey, are you looking for a new hobby?
Actually, Tina, you know what? I want you to do an infomercial that everyone can use to pitch to their hobby store.
Action.
Yeah, I would totally do that.
Right now.
Right now.
Okay. Hey out there in podcast land, are you looking for a new hobby? Are you staring at stacks of money just going, man, I wish I didn't have these? Look into Gunpla. Gunpla. It's a portmanteau of Gundam plastic model kits. Now, you might be wondering what a Gundam is. That's for a completely different podcast in a completely different episode on a completely different channel. This one's talking about how to start your community, but first you got to get into it.
That's fucking beautiful, man.
Tino, are you saying that I could have a Gunpla community with 10 easy payments of 99 cents?
Well, oh, that's about the cost of a high grade. Yeah, say.
99 cents?
Real quick, before, fuck off, second of all,
what?
I will say that we forgot about this, and this is something that I kind of slipped my mind.
I don't forget about anything.
If you don't have anyone that like is interested in the fucking hobby around your area, go to like fucking Starbucks and just fucking build a model.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's I was saying that
build
earlier.
Public.
Yeah, build in public, like how English students or creative writing majors write in public, or how Tino's draw in public. Go to a coffee shop. Or go to a bookstore, or just like go to a park or something.
The thing is, if I go into somewhere and I see someone building a model kit, I am sitting the fuck down and buying them a coffee and having a goddamn conversation.
I would, yeah, that's super fun.
I recently actually was at a local Starbucks talking with a friend, and I had a kit in my hands that we were actually like conversing over. And one of the baristas came over and was like, "Hey, man, is that a Gundam?" Like, yeah, it was a Gundam.
As a matter of fact.
As a matter of fact. Yeah.
Fact. And you can join our community as well if you'd like. And
definitely gave him that whole pitch too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's no reason why you can't start a local community or just find some homies you want to build with. Like it doesn't have to be a big elaborate meetup. Right. It can be kitchen table building. #kitchen table building. Kitchen table Gunpla.
#kitchen table Gunpla?
Kitchen table Gunpla.
Are you telling me that #kitchen table Gunpla is the hashtag that we're going to use to explain people who meet in their houses?
Well, we're recording on a kitchen table, so.
I mean, we are.
#kitchen table podcast.
You've got a kit over here somewhere.
That's correct.
We can bust out the
glorious spare runner castle.
Yeah, there we go.
But real talk, I have a story from the last time we recorded that I didn't tell anybody that session because I wanted to save it for the right moment, and this is the moment.
Uh-oh.
On my way over here, I was stuck in traffic because there were several accidents on Highway 40, which is the worst highway.
Don't build in traffic.
I've tried it before. It didn't work out very well. But what I did see in traffic was a Pontiac of some kind with an Exia sticker on the back window.
Oh.
So, like, I'm in traffic. I'm seeing this car with this Gundam sticker. And I'm like, hey, I wonder if they're going to the podcast. Because I'm dumb. And I'm thinking, like, I'm going to a Gundam podcast. Maybe they're going to become a Gundam. I know. This is weird.
What?
So I follow this car for,
that's
like,
why you're
two
late?
Eggs. I wasn't that late. I follow this car for, like, two exits, and I'm like, ooh, hey, I wonder who this person is. Maybe they're going to the same place I'm going. They weren't. They weren't going to the same place I was going. So anyway, what
do
I'm saying is,
we want to know where they went.
I might be on a list, and I need one of you to come with me to a court date next week. I'm hoping it'll
we're
be
we're leaving
quick.
This place separately.
Yeah. Do we need to launch the Patreon early for any reason? Like, do you have any court costs we need
no,
to cover?
No, I'm going to represent myself. #doitbadly. It should be fine.
Oh, man. Tino, you're our sign-off boy.
#5to life.
Go ahead.
Are we sure we're signing off now?
We're signing off. We got to go to Brandon's court trial.
Okay. Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Cutting Mat Podcast. I'm your sign-off boy, Tino. At Big V Roman all over the internet. To my right is
Joel True Gunpla all over the internet. To my right,
I'm Brandon Mecha Genre, also all over the internet. MechaGenre.com.
Seeking legal counsel.
I will if anybody is willing to work pro bono. I have no money.
And I'm Bailey, Kamau_Zeta everywhere on the internet.
This is the Cutting Mat Podcast. You guys have a good rest of your day. Keep on building and yourself.
Don't forget to do it badly. We'll see you next time.
Stay tuned.